Welcome to Seeking Alpha's Wall Street Breakfast, your daily source of market news and analysis. Subscribe to this podcast on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and Stitcher.
Welcome to Seeking Alpha, Alpha Talks Editors Roundtable, What Moved Markets This Week, the week ending Friday, March 19th, 2021, a week that was anchored by the Fed interest rate decision and policy statement and ensuing press conference by Chairman Jerome Powell. The markets did not do very much early in the week in anticipation of this, and originally greeted Powell's statement, loose monetary statements, I should say, with bullishness, with some buying occurring after the Fed meeting on Wednesday afternoon. That reversed on Thursday as yields shot up and stock markets were sold off pretty dramatically in some instances. The NASDAQ fell 3% on Thursday. And today, Friday, things are kind of shifting around a little bit. We had some selling earlier and they have since come in. NASDAQ is now up for the day and we're looking at losses, but not very big losses for the major indexes for this week. So a big week, especially when it comes to Fed policy, a lot of commentary around that. And I'm looking forward to what my colleagues have to say about it. I will introduce them now. I am joined by Seeking Alpha editors, Brad Olison, VP of News, Kim Kahn, Senior News Editor, Stephen Alfer, Managing Editor of Breaking News, and I am your host and moderator, Nathaniel E. Baker, Senior Editor of Strategic Contributors. Kim, let's start with you. What was your take on the events of the week?
Well, it's been another volatile week, and we've had to deal with stocks kind of being dragged around by yields again. But I think it's also one of those weeks that kind of maybe seemed worse than it was because of Thursday's sharp sell-off. But you know, we've got the NASDAQ maybe looking at if it goes down for the week, it'd be four out of the last five that it's been lower. But it's starting to gain some traction today as we were talking, and could actually maybe gain some more traction, pull out a win. Just barely for the week. I think inflation has been on everyone's mind, and not whether or not there is inflation. I think pretty much people are agreeing that there is. If you looked at the Philly Fed that was out this week, the prices paid index jumped to the highest level it's ever been. It's been since March 1980. So there's definitely, the prices received also spiked sharply. So there's definitely inflation being seen. There's inflation in the pipeline that we're getting data on. Now the question is whether it's good or bad inflation. And a lot of times, everyone's like, okay, rates are up and the market's going to sell off. But we've had good years where, rates have been going up a bit because of growth and the market's gone up along with it. So there's been, a lot of debate about that. And also, we're kind of seeing maybe some more evidence of rotation, which is not necessarily rates driven. Just people just still, are looking at growth and looking for these reopening stocks, cyclical stocks, and selling some of the bigger tech names to buy those stocks. And that's going to have an outsized impact on the indexes.
Yeah. And I guess the question is also whether the inflation that we're seeing is transitory, to borrow the Fed's term, which basically apparently means they can just ignore it, or if it's something a little bit more permanent, which might get them to start tapering. Brad, what's your take? Who are the winners and losers?
Definitely this week was a cyclical rally. You saw airlines take off, literally, partially on the TSA data that we saw as travelers start to move around the country a little bit more aggressively. You have American Airlines, Alaska Air, United Airlines, all up about double digits. Interestingly enough, I think Sanford Bernstein even called out some of the value names or more traditionally cyclical names as screening for momentum. So that's one of the first times that's ever happened or has happened since 2016, where the value names are now technically momentum names because of this upswell of equity interest that we've seen over the past couple of weeks really pick up steam. And so, that involves autos, materials, energy, et cetera, over the past few weeks. Although this week, energy was clearly a loser on that steep drop off that we saw in oil. You had Marathon Oil, Apache Oil, Occidental Petroleum. They took it on the chin. Crude, I think, had its worst day since September earlier this week. So outside of the energy names there, the cyclicals were still the big winner. Obviously, I think Powell tried to assuage our concerns about how aggressive the Fed was going to be. I think he just issued another editorial earlier today discussing, you know, trying to reassure the markets that, hey, I'm still a dove, even though quite a few of the members did express an interest in raising rates before 2023. Still a minority of them, obviously, but definitely a value stock and cyclical oriented week. One thing that I would point out, though, interestingly, as we are still near our highs, you know, as Kim pointed out, it was volatile, but we're still towards the upper end of our ranges. MKM's Michael Darda came out with a note this week, noting that most of the market is well overpriced. I think he pointed to the fact that the market is now at a 57% premium to its recent six-year range, and that even when you adjust for the lower interest rates, you're looking at a 30% premium. And he talked about the upcoming environment, the fact that the Fed liquidity is going to be drained. You had higher taxes probably on corporations and the SPAC interest recently. And so he pointed out that there were probably quite a few names in the NASDAQ 100 that were trading with price to sales ratios in the double digits that he says are poised to come off a little bit. He didn't point out any names specifically because he is supposed to be more of a macro strategist. I will point out those names, however, for our listeners. They all tend to be the names that we're all familiar with in the NASDAQ 100. All these, mind you, have price to sales ratios in the double digits. You have Moderna, Zoom, Atlassian, DocuSign, Tesla for one, and Peloton. Yeah, Peloton was right at the cusp of double digits as of my screen earlier this morning, coming in at a price to sales ratio of 10. All the other ones are much higher than that. Now, keep in mind, valuation is not a catalyst in and of itself for a sell-off. It's just warrants a little bit extra caution. Mm-hmm. So anyway, I thought that was rather interesting in the context of this week's moves.
Yes, indeed. Stephen, what about you? What were you watching this week, Fed, corporate, or otherwise?
Yeah, I think the Fed was fascinating this week. I know past episodes I've kind of poo-pooed, you know, nobody really cares what they have to say. We know what they're doing. But this week, you know, they're in a little bit of a corner. I think Powell remembers very clearly what happened in 2018 when the markets basically, you know, got in a panicky crash and he had to reverse course rather quickly. And I think that's still on his mind. So he's out and about reassuring everyone he has no intention of tightening. He had the editorial today. I think he's got three media appearances scheduled for next week. So he's going to continue at it. And I find it fascinating that, you know, we're worried that the market's going to freak out if the Fed signals that it might hike rates in 2023 or in early 2021. And we're probably going to end the year with a four handle on the unemployment rate. And heaven forbid the Fed signal a rate hike in 2023. That's enough to crash the market. That shows you kind of how overvalued, how crazy things are. So that was, to me, the Fed and the Bank of Japan last night. Very similar. Their stock market is booming. They've got even lower rates than we have. And they kind of signaled just the tiniest bit of maybe they're going to widen the band that they allow the 10-year JGB to trade in from 20 basis points, 25 basis points. And that caused a little bit of a freak out. And Kuroda had to come out and say, we won't allow any yield fluctuation or something like that. So, yeah, the central banks have got themselves in this bind. Should be fun to see how they get themselves out of it.
Yeah, all of this begs the question why stocks aren't rallying. I mean, what more can Powell say? I mean, other than, I guess people seem to want him to do some operation twist part, whatever, and some yield curve control, or maybe come out and buy stocks. I don't know. But why isn't the market reacting stronger to this?
Because they are in a bind. Right. If the market perceives, if the bond market starts to say we're not taking it anymore, if we all remember what it was like in the early 90s, you know, James Carville, I want to grow up to be the bond market so I could put the fear into everybody. If that occurs, then there's no amount of easing that would help the markets.
Right. I do wonder if, like, somehow the 2018, you know, Powell's trial by fire and that whole thing has kind of marked him to the point where he is now, you know, to where his future interest rate policy and certainly present interest rate policy is a result of that, and that he will stick to the course perhaps longer than he needs to. Who knows? We'll have to see, I guess. All right. Anything else in terms of corporate news, Stephen, that you had? There wasn't much in the way of earnings this week or anything else.
Yeah, I thought the big NFL deal was finally inked. It's $100 billion over about 10 years. So the kind of the death of the NFL has been greatly exaggerated. Yeah. I think the last deal was $27 billion for 10 years. So it's a bit of a markup, despite, you know, people like to talk about ratings being down. I've had it with the NFL and that kind of thing. Well, NFL still rules, you know, TV sports land. And of course, you know, Amazon now has the exclusive rights to Thursdays.
Yeah.
So I found that to be very interesting.
Apparently getting a 17th regular season game as well. Although I'm glad we're not talking about the other football because my team had a horrible week. But
for what it's worth, media companies broadly, I think we talked about this last week, have just been rallying tremendously over the past few weeks. I think Discovery was up another double digits this week. So clearly the media appetite is there. I think there's a lot of anticipation that things are really, really going to be turning around. As we all know on this program, the media revenues took they cratered last year for all sorts of different programming. So definitely an upward media bias here.
Hmm. Yep. All right, well, let's move on to the second segment of the show where we discuss our favorite Seeking Alpha articles or news coverage that we've seen this week. And let's start with Kim.
Well, I wanted to look a bit at, we haven't talked about GameStop in a little while, so I'm going to go back to that because it's now set to be snap a 3-week winning streak where at the end of the last week, it was up 550%. Now it's going to be up around 350% if it stays at these prices. But we're seeing these kind of, I guess I could call them post-squeeze aftershocks, where you're getting another rally, a sharp rally in these shares coming up, and then they come back down a bit, and we'll see where they settle down. But they all seem to be settling up at a higher place. I mean, it's going to go, let's say GameStop's going to go into its earnings next week, next Tuesday, as a $200 stock. And that just, makes it very interesting playing field for all the analysts who are all going to be looking at the numbers, going to be looking at the conference call, trying to tell them what the business is going to do. But are they, all going to have a sell because they don't think it's worth $200? I mean, that's the thing. We also saw it with now we're seeing it with these kind of cheaper reopening names like Express had a spike this week. And they were one of the ones that were on the Robinhood limit list. So they're seeing their aftershock. And other names like Chico's are also coming into this as quick turnaround, like stocks that have been beaten down so much and can see these large pops. So I don't think we're done with this. We're going to see kind of, different, retail targets keep going through the market.
All right. Stephen, what about you?
We did an article on kind of the office politics at Goldman Sachs. Some of the junior analysts let leak to Bloomberg or the Wall Street Journal, a little internal poll they had done where they're complaining about having to work 100-hour weeks. And of course, there's an IPO boom, a SPAC boom going on. So business is booming at these banks and there's a lot of investor decks to put together and a lot of regulatory things to put together on short notice. And that's kind of the nature of the beast. And I have a feeling it was leaked in response to a weekend article where the CEO, David Solomon, kind of let loose that he was having lunch in the Hamptons last summer on a weekday and some junior bankers had the temerity to come over and introduce themselves to him. And he's like, why aren't these guys working or why aren't these guys in the office? So they quickly kind of fired back with this survey. Hey, we have lives too. The fact of the matter is when you're a junior banker at an investment bank, you do not have a life. You sell your soul and in exchange, you get a crate full of money, but that's the way hopefully it goes.
Yeah.
And so one thing that stood out to me on that is actually a minority. There was just 13 surveyed, but the minority had been yelled at or sworn at. I was kind of surprised at that.
Yeah, I mean, some things never change, right? Although, who knows? I mean, David Solomon is maybe part of a dying breed of these guys that want people to come into the office with three-piece suits and such. And We'll see. All right, Brad, what about you?
Well, my story would have been a perfect segue from Kim's. We're talking about the short-term trading, faction trading, the boom of the retail investor. The one story that jumped out to me was Palantir's CEO. There was a story this week where he was speaking at the Executives Club of Chicago. His comments were also picked up on CNBC. And the stock is very interesting because I think it blends a whole lot of the themes that we've been talking about recently. It has a little bit of Cathie Wood and her ARK Invest flavor to it. She's been picking up shares as soon as they drop a little, you know, here and there. It's also got the direct listing flavor, which is all in vogue amid the decline in traditional IPO process. And it's got the short-termism retail aspect to it. Basically what he did was he went out and he said that we're a company that's preparing for the long haul. And if you're looking to invest in our stock on a short-term basis, go somewhere else. We don't need you. You know, he did that in the same breath, said that he loves retail investors. But ultimately the short-term focus in Wall Street is one of the more destructive forces that he's seen. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, just advocating for people to look at the larger picture, and that no one's forcing you to buy his stock. So don't even think about it if you're looking for one of those one-off pops, which is interesting. I believe he was one of the PayPal mafia. If I don't remember, you know, his counterpart Elon Musk of Tesla would have other things to say about that. But nevertheless, I thought that was a fun story.
Yeah. All right. And for me, to give some of our contributors a little bit of love here, Logan Kane wrote a piece, Why CVS is My Top Stock Pick for 2021. And he says CVS has been flying under the radar here, and it presents one of the most compelling opportunities in the market today, trading at a bargain basement price of 7x free cash flow with positive catalysts coming in to increase their earnings power. The market is not giving CVS enough credit, he says. And he says, this is a low risk bet. You don't stand to lose very much if you go in here and you know, he sees that this is a good investment opportunity. As I said, his best one, his top step pick for 2021, and kind of something that again, isn't certainly not one of the sexier things, you know, electric vehicles and such that we see capturing all the headlines.
It's not trading at double-digit price-to-book ratio. And that's the problem.
Yeah, I guess not. Yeah, and the forward PE is less than 10. Yeah, and then you know they do have a little bit of a dividend there too, 2.7% at current prices, which is obviously I don't need to tell anybody a lot more than your savings rate gets you. All right, that's all we got for this week. If you are listening to the audio and want to see the video for even more entertainment, then check out seekingalpha.com/videos. It is posted every Friday afternoon by the market close. And with that, we thank you all for watching and listening, as the case may be, and look forward to speaking to you again next week.
That concludes today's Wall Street Breakfast. Thank you for listening. For the best investment analysis and news on the web, go to seekingalpha.com. Subscribe to this podcast on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and Stitcher. You can sign up for our other podcasts, Behind the Idea, Essay for FAs, Let's Talk ETFs, the Cannabis Investing Podcast, and Marketplace Roundtable on those platforms as well. Have a great day.